Triumph of the Cunning Man by J.R. Jones, with Philip Madoc as Gwyn and Alan Horan, Gwyn as a boy.
I was but a boy when the winds began. 11-year-old, the summer that the war ended, July the 16th. They told me about the cunning man, and I'd seen him once or twice standing, lonely as a rock, in the howling storms that used to come into the headland from the great, wide Atlantic. Long ago, it seems, though less than 50 years gone. The places are still there, but something was stripped away from them. The Trinity Shrine has gone. The whole world changed when the winds began.
Yes, Mom?
Come here. I want you to take a message.
Who to?
To the dog priest.
Is it Mott?
Yes, I'm afraid it is. His time has come.
Poor Mott.
He's had a good life. Your Auntie Ivy was always very good to him, even when he couldn't work anymore.
But he's all right. He's a happy dog.
That's when the time is right. When he's still happy.
But he's my friend.
Mott is ready now. Go and call the dog priest. The tide will turn again come nightfall. Here's a silver piece. You know what to do now, don't you?
Yes, Mum.
And so that day I set off to the place where the dog priest lived. The first of the three pillars that I was to meet. As with the cunning man, there was something of the other world about him too. He had no name, he had no family, and he lived under the old walls of the ruined manor down in Monkhaven.
Hello? Hello? Anybody at home?
Who's there?
Gwynvor, sir. Gwynvor Tirion.
Oh, Tirion, eh? Do you know what it means, Gwynvor?
Gentle, sir.
Aye, and it does. And Gwynvor meaning the White Sea. Good set of names you have, boy.
Thank you, sir.
Now then, what can I do for you, gentle White Sea?
We need your work, sir, at Marlis.
You'd be very young for coming to find me.
My dad and my brothers are still away.
Ah, right, the war. You know where the flat stone is?
Oh, yes, sir, I forgot. Here's the silver.
No, don't give it to me, boy. No one pays the dog priest, not to his face. Lay it on the flat stone.
Yes, sir.
Good, good. Now you get me things and we can walk up to Marlis together. Now see you watch that stone, lest someone come a thief in.
It's gone, sir.
Gone? Well, how could that be?
I just looked round, and it was gone.
Oh, never mind, Gwynvor. All is well. But you never saw the dog priest get paid, did you?
You took it.
All is well is all I'll say. Let's make steps now for Marlis. The tide will be right if we start walking smartly now. Is this dog a friend of yours, Gwynvor?
Yes, sir, he is.
Will you help me do my work?
No, sir. If it please you, I don't want him to die.
No more do I, boy. No more do I. That's why they call on me. I love dogs.
Why do you do what you do then, sir?
Because I love them. Never want to see any of God's creatures harmed. I love them. They love me. When they go, they're with a friend. You find such a story hard to understand?
Yes, sir.
Help me with your friend and you shall see. What name does it have?
Mott.
Mott. A good working dog's name. Names are important. Was he a good worker?
Yes, sir.
Good. That sounds like a good dog.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Don't cry yet, boy. Wait till he's gone. Then the tears will help him on the way. Like the outgoing tide, they'll wash his soul away, gentle and clear. That's why there's so many bad souls walking the wild places nowadays.
Why, sir?
This war with all its wildness. People getting killed when the time's all wrong. Dying when the tide's running the wrong way.
But it's over, except for the Japs.
Is it? Some would say it's barely started.
We walked out of the woods and westwards towards the places where the trees are twisted by the wind, and then further on to where no trees would grow. A bright day with a sharp wind. A good wind, a wind that didn't have the crying of lost souls in it. nor yet the sound of dead men's drums calling to the living.
Is that the place?
Not yet, sir. This is my home. My mom asked me to get you.
Oh, we're obliged to you.
Not yet, you're not mistress.
For coming so quick, I mean.
Not my choosing, you know that. The tide is my master.
I'll take you to the place.
I need the boy.
Winvor?
He's agreed to help me.
Have you?
Yes, ma'am.
It's best if Gwynvor and me go alone.
Well, if you say so. Are you all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Go on, then. Ivy will be expecting you.
Ivy is the dog's companion?
Yes, sir. She's my aunt. My dad's older sister.
Is she married?
No, sir.
A lonesome lady losing her companion. Always a sad thing. Is there a young dog hereabouts for her?
Yes, sir. I think so.
Good. Then when I've done what needs, you see to it that she has a new companion. Not too soon, not too late. You'll know when the time's right.
To get another dog for her?
Aye, when the time's right.
How will I know?
Time will speak to you if your ears aren't bunged up with too much of the little things.
This is the house.
Auntie Ivy! You're welcome, sir.
Hey, thank you. This is Mott, I'm assuming.
Yes, sir. He's been a good dog. Will you be taking him out?
Yes, we'll walk him and talk to him and then we'll bring him home. We'll need a big supper waiting for him.
Aye.
Take him out, Grinfer. Joyful now.
Come on, boy!
Oh.
Now, not yet, Mr. Zivy. There'll be a better time to cry for him.
He was a good dog.
Aye. So this is a fine gift you've given him. I see by the hair that you're a child of Ness.
That I am.
A true one?
So some would say.
Then you'll be prepared. 2 hours, we'll be gone. Now then, young fellow, my lad, where's a good walk round these parts?
And so Mott's last walk began. I took them right down to Martin's Haven, and all the way the dog priest was telling me to laugh and run and work Mott like he'd never grown old, and his milky eyes could see clear again. He made Mott run and he made Mott jump. He threw sticks for him, and when Mott brought them back, the dog priest would ruffle his ears until Mott near bursted with pride. Are you having a good day, Mott? He kept asking him. If the dog could reply, he would have cried out, "It's just like you said, sir. This is the best day I've had in years. I feel like a puppy again, sir," he would have said. And he and I forgot what we were about. The dog priest knew how to open people up to simple things. All through that walk, I knew what he was going to do with that big, dark oak walking stick of his. But it was like I couldn't see it for what it was.
You know the sea round these parts?
Well enough, sir.
Then right now she's turning. You see it?
Yes, sir.
So we must do the same. Mott's supper will be ready. You see him up there? Up on the rath?
Yes, sir.
A cunning man is a walking too. He sees me working. He sees you with me. He knows me and my ways. 'Tis you he ponders.
Where would that be?
He may be about business of which we know nothing.
We returned to the house and Mott caught the scent of rabbit stew and he seemed to know that it was for him. Maybe he even knew what it meant. We went into the back porch and Mott ran to his bowl. He wolfed at the meal and the dog priest watched him. Just when he judged it, he motioned to us to turn away. But the door to the kitchen was open and I saw the moment reflected in the brass mantel plate. I saw Mott's tail wagging as he bolted the meal. I saw the dog priest look carefully at the dog's head. And then, swift as a weasel, I saw him strike Mott with his stick. Just once, right where the head and the neck were joined. Mott sighed and sank down like he was going to sleep. His tail stopped wagging.
Turn around now and join us. Now cry, the two of you. Every strength you have in the crying, and Mott will fly the faster and the sweeter for it.
And we needed no more bidding. Aunt Ivy and I held each other's hands as we wept like children lost in a forest. Her long red hair had come part free from the clasp, and it fell across her face and mine. When the crying was done, we sat and looked at Mott's slack body.
I'll go and bury him.
No, Gwynberth. That's for me to do. You show the dog priest the way home. He'll be waiting outside.
See that creature there, Gwynver?
The Wellington.
An ugly beast, is it not? All noise and smell and nasty in purpose. You can hear the ancient mindless drums of war in the sound of it. Is that what death looks like to you?
No. They're on our side.
They're still death to someone. What if it was a German aeroplane? You'd think it was death then, wouldn't you?
Not anymore. We've beaten the Germans.
We've beaten them, have we? It's not over yet, boy.
Yes, it is. My dad's coming home. And my brother Owen.
There's still some dying left to be done. The roar of hell itself. What game do they think they play with a great master?
Who's the great master?
Death is very self. And they are like children playing catch-as-catch-can with him. Now listen and look. See her.
The buzzard.
Aye. Look on her. See how she knows the ways of the wind. That's what death looks like. Graceful and part of the things around her. If you was a rabbit, think what she'd mean to you. Remember, Gwynver, lest we don't meet again. Death is graceful and part of every other thing when she's not a slave to mankind. We've crossed the village boundary. I take my leave of you now. Blessed be.
I stood by the marshy path and watched him walk away. I was too numb to think properly. All I remembered was that he had been crying for the old dog's leaving too. I'd never seen a grown man cry before. And I remembered that he'd called death a him and he'd called it a her. Like it was a family, maybe. That was the first of the three that would become one with me. The summer moved on gently enough. Stories of the wars ending and the coming home of the lads were told. My father and my brother would soon be back where they belonged, home from the wild war. When I thought the time was right, my mum and me got another dog for Ivy. He was a border collie like Mott, and when we took him round to her place, she cried and cried to welcome him in. He would never be another Mott, so she called him Fly. It wasn't long after that. I found the dead sailor while I was scrambling and walking down by Long Point. I told my mother, and she came down with me to look at him, lying there on the rocks, his face towards heaven, his mouth wide open and his arms outstretched, like he was holding one last breath.
Come there.
So young. He's no more than a boy. Younger than Owen, even. Long washed up. Not long dead.
Do you think he's a Jerry?
Who can tell? Those clothes could be from anywhere. We'd better have a look.
Has he got tags, you know, round his neck?
No, nothing. He's just somebody's boy, back from the sea.
Should we bury him?
And shriven? No, not even if he is a Jerry. We'll need the sin eater.
Not Reverend Harris.
A vicar will bury him fine, but he won't give the journey's pay for the boy. There's some things that are older than the ways of a churchman. You've learned of the dog, priest. Now you shall see the sin-eater.
Do I have to go and get him?
No, he'll have seen the corpse candle. He'll be here. Light the hurricane lamp and wait.
Can't you stay?
No. Two people are bonded to him. The last to see him before he was taken, and the first to see him after.
But
he won't harm you, the sin-eater. You have to stay, to introduce him. You are the boy's last friend.
I'm frightened, Mum.
That's to be expected, and you're none the less for it. But fear is to be faced. There's a reason that you found this boy here. You and I may never know it, but the reason's there. It was the right time.
The dog priest talked about that.
And didn't he let you choose the time to take Fly to your auntie? He knew it was time for you to judge the time, to become a man. When the sin eater has done, we'll tell the vicar. He can give the boy a Christian burial, all right and fitting.
I watched my mother go back up the path and disappear up over the cliff edge. Even though it was still light, I lit the lamp and waited in fear. As the day fell to evening, I saw a figure up on top of Gateholm. At first I thought it was the sin-eater, but then I recognized his way of walking, even at that distance. It was the cunning man, and he was watching me. Soon as he realized I was looking at him, he turned and was gone down the other side of the island. I looked the other way, and the sin-eater was coming down the path towards me, taking his hat off and letting his long grey hair be blown like frayed cloth in the wind.
Art thou the Tyrian boy?
Yes, sir.
Was thee found the dead one?
Yes, sir, I did.
Not been dead too long, then. He'll be needing the journey's pay. Dost thou know me, boy?
No, sir. Well, I mean, I know who you are.
That's well. Art afraid of me?
A bit, yes, sir.
Don't be. Respect. That's what thou shouldst have.
Yes, sir.
Not for me, boy, but for what I do. Thou knowest about it.
You take the sin of dead upon you, sir.
That I do. Help me prepare now. Take a plate. Hold it away from the wind. Now pour the salt on it.
All over it, sir.
That's it. Does it sting thee?
No, sir.
That's well. Take this bread and put it on the salt. Now listen. The sins of this man are dark and unknown. Left in his soul, they will cause him to walk after his dead. Good man or bad, he may still walk. Especially here where the old hag Annes doth kindle the storms.
Who is Annes, sir?
The witch of the storm. No St. Anne's head, this no, something much darker. An old hag with a black face and a single red eye walks these cliffs. Her name is Annes. Someone must take the sin from this dead man, lest he walk with her. Someone who is poor and unknown, and shunned by the day-to-day people of the world. Someone who can bargain with Annes for the soul of a man. I eat this man's sin for the world and for his soul. Dost thou follow me?
Yes, sir.
I apprehend thy name is Gwynver.
Yes, sir, it is.
The souls of good men lost far from home come back as the white crests on the sea. Have they told thee that, boy?
My mom said so once.
And when she comes and fills thee with fear, think on what a fine name thou hast for this present task, Gwynver the White Sea.
When my mom comes...
No, Gwynver, not thy mother.
Sir! Sir!
Quiet, boy.
But he's alive. He just groaned.
Dead men also groan when their souls are in danger. Speak no more of it. Let me be.
Oh, Jesus, help us. His eyes just opened.
This is the edge of two worlds. The sea and the land and the sky, the living and the dead. I am the bridge. I take salt and bread for this man, Annes. Wilt thou bargain with me?
Let the bargaining begin.
I take all of his wrongdoing upon my own soul. Wilt thou leave him be?
And walk alone? No, I will have him. He has given himself to me by his actions.
He is but a boy. His sins cannot be so great.
His sins were little, yet my loneliness is great.
Yet I plead for him.
In whose name?
In my own.
Just you, sin eater. Has he no family?
I have seen that his parents are dead. His wife joins with another. His child knows not his name. I stand alone for him.
Then give him to me. You carry too great a burden for one who grows so old so soon.
Let me take his sin. Like me, thou hast a great burden already.
Will you meet me again when the storms conflict?
If it be part of the bargain, I will.
Take his sin then. It weighs very light.
I thank thee.
Remember your bargain, sin eater. You will meet with the Storm Witch again.
The pact is sealed.
Very well.
Not yet, my children! Not yet!
Speak not, Gwynfer. Pass the plate over his body 3 times and lay it upon his breast. Slowly now. Let the sin rise up into it. Good. Good. Now watch me eat. Bear witness for the sake of thy world.
And so it was that I watched him take on the unknown sins of an unknown man, whose eyes closed slowly and peacefully as the sin-eater ate his last meal for him. The sin-eater's face was ever calm and deep-thinking as he took the bitter salt bread into his mouth. Then he put his plate back into his bag, tied his hat back on his head, and set off up the path without looking back. His tread was weary and his shoulders hunched. There was a new weight upon them. And so, that's how I met the second of the 3 pillars that were to form the shrine. And I had also met Annis. I shiver now this day, near 50 years on, when I think of the first time I saw that face. I'd seen something much older and more awesome than the simple struggles of man with man. Some weeks passed before the project was begun. It was the timeless time, when the year turned on Midsummer's Day, that the darkness began to close in on us.
Which one are you?
Tom Mix or a pesky redskin?
Good morning, Mr. Stevens. Any post for us?
Yes, boy. Is your mother in?
Yes. I'll take you to her.
You stay by here, Gwynfer. I'll take this one to her.
All right.
There was some conversation between them on the doorstep as she opened the letter. My man looked dazed. Mr. Stevens looked down at his boots. They spoke again, and she held up her head as he came back down the path. He didn't look at me. I ran up to the house.
Mom? Mom?
It's all right, Gwynfer.
What is it, Mom?
Never you mind. It is nothing much. I'm going for a walk now. Down to the church well.
Can I come too?
No, Gwyn. You stay here. I've reason for being by myself.
What's that knife for?
For the sacrifice.
Now, hush up.
And I knew there was no more for me to say. I knew she was going down to the well over the road from the church. The well that some called the Ellen Well. My man was going to call on Ellen of the Roads for a clear way. The war had already taken David, my eldest brother, somewhere out in the ocean, when the whole business had seemed very little. And now I knew that letter meant my remaining brother Owen, or my father, was dead. Less laughter, less talk, less strength in the little house that had suddenly become so big and empty, filled with echoes of our menfolk.
Hey, David! Do they still have Red Indians in America?
Suppose so. Never saw one, though.
That's because they're all out in the west, isn't it?
Hey, that's it. I only get to the east side. It's all big cities there.
Like Cardiff?
Bigger than Cardiff. More like London. They got cars as big as buses. Lots of food. You can eat all day if you want to. Mind you, they haven't got so much as one fish and chip shop there.
Not even like Milford.
Hey, hard to credit. But they got cinemas everywhere.
When I grow up, I'm going to go and live there.
Why not? Maybe I'll come with you.
What do you bring him back here?
Bits of Mitchell's. It's a kind of bomber. We're going to give those Jerrys a taste of what they've been giving us.
Did you shoot any Jerrys?
Got close. I frightened one sub so much that they ran away.
Mom spent the longest day by the waters and returned home as dusk was falling. Her petticoat showed where she had cut away the hem of her skirt to hang on the thorns that grew around the well. And I was horribly fascinated by the new long cut from elbow to knuckle on her left arm. The crumpled letter that she clasped tight in her hand was streaked with blood.
It's Owen that's missing. You're wondering why it's about this, aren't you?
Yes.
I tear the fabric to remove the boundary between the waters of the earth and the waters inside my body. Now I'm joined to Ellen of the Roads. You still look in wonderment, Gwyn.
I don't see why you should hurt yourself, spoil yourself. I don't understand what good comes of it.
Joining with other powers by throwing down the barrier between yourself and them brings miracles to your door.
Sometimes when I think on it, I realize that when she broke the continuity of herself that day, when she opened up the day-to-day fabric of her very self, that's when she let the madness creep inside the inner structure. The dark waters of the Ellen Well had mixed with her blood, never to be separate again.
Hello, Gwynver. Is your mother about?
No, Auntie. She's walking again.
Again?
Like yesterday.
Since she heard about Owen?
Yes.
So you sit here and watch butterflies?
Yes.
Feel bad?
She doesn't talk. It's like she shut the door on me. That's what it feels like. She only cares about him. Do you think she doesn't love me anymore?
Oh, no, Gwyn. She still loves you. Can't but help it. But the seed grows in the pod bursts and flings the seed to the ground. Only then can the seed grow.
Only when it's been thrown out.
Eh. Now listen up, Gwyn. You've just found out what it is to be an outcast. The sin eater we have here, the dark priest, they're outcasts. Even I am in my way. But it is they that live on the edge of things who can see further. Be stronger for it. I know that there is something unrecorded but soon to be born, Gwynver. And it will come from the place where the outlanders live. From the place of the outcasted will come a new power. Oh, now look. It's getting dark. Go you on into the house. I'll go look for her.
I'd rather wait here.
Well, now, I can't tell you what to do, but...
There she is!
Hey. Now then, Gwyn, go inside. I want a word with your mum.
So, like a good little boy, I went inside the house. Then pressed my ear to the crack in the door as my mum came up the path.
What's the matter with you, Delith?
What do you think? My two boys are dead.
Maybe Owen isn't. Maybe he's just captured.
He's dead, Ivy. Dead as David. I can feel it.
So, if they're dead, they're gone, and never to return. What about Gwynver? He's still alive.
What about him?
He's frightened. Can't you see? He doesn't understand what's happening. You won't even talk to the boy. He might just as well have gone missing too.
Ivy, I can't think. I can't stop thinking, more like. Every wisp in the wind bowls me over. Don't be hurtful to me, please.
No, sorry, Delith. Look, why don't I take Gwyn home with me for a while? Just while you sort things out.
Well, you'll bring him back for the nights, won't you? I can't bear the darkness. All by myself.
Of course.
The darkness, they're lost in.
And so for the next week I spent my days with Ivy, who began to teach me about a new strength. Looking back now, I realize that she already knew the way the wind would be blowing. She could see the small things that led to greater things. So it was that she began to teach me the old ways of pathworking and protection. She could see that I was in danger. We all were. But that I might be saved if she could help me learn enough. One night back in my mother's house, something woke me. At first I thought it was my father's voice, and I was about to run downstairs when I realized that it was my Uncle Will, my father's brother.
So, it's only a rumor around the docks, but I thought I'd better come and tell you before some fool's mouth opened up on it.
So what do they say?
That the constellation's gone down. A stray mind, they reckon.
Do you think he's dead?
Well, no one's dead till you can't say otherwise.
But he's gone.
Maybe. Shall I stay?
No.
I could get Betty to stop by and...
No. I'd be fine. Fine.
I'll leave you then.
No. Not the two of them. Not all that remains in the turn of a week. Not my boy and my man. God wouldn't do that, would he? He'd spread it out. He'd give me time. He'd let me gather my strength. Not so much sorrow into one house. But with the sorrow here already. You're missing there. Missing. There's all the difference, isn't there? Isn't there? Talk back to me, God. Tell me they're all right, you dealer in souls. Can't you hear me? Or won't you speak? Did you die with them? If you won't help me, I know one who will. Very well. They say who helps them that helps themselves.
I felt a certain unease at her wild words. No one should hold a candle to God like that. I ran back to the window to watch her walking away towards Woltak Point, the hurricane lamp casting a pool of light around her feet and bringing fleeting demons from the twisted edges. A tiny spark of light in the great chaos of darkness. All night I waited for her. By dawn I was cold and frightened that she hadn't come home. I decided to get dressed and go to see Ivy, who would know what to do.
She's walking wild. You best go find her. Take her some food. I'll get some from the pantry.
Where do you think she'll be?
Somewhere with a good view over the sea. She'll be casting her mind out like a net across it to bring back your family. Follow the cliff path round. Take Fly with you. He knows her. He'll help find her.
Come on, boy.
Mom! Mom!
Leave me be, Gwynfor.
But you've been out all night. You haven't eaten. Ivy, give me some food for you.
Not until the work has been started. Leave me be. I'll stay in the watchtower till they come home.
But you'll get ill.
Don't argue with me. Go now and keep the fires burning in the homestead. But leave the watchers to their work.
Won't you come home?
Not without those I watch for. Not without a contract with him who can bring them home.
The cunning man?
Yes, him.
I didn't know what to do. I couldn't leave her, not entirely, so I retreated to the path that ran down to the bay. Fly came and sat by my feet. For some time I watched the water moving against the rock of the headland. No thoughts in my mind save for being pushed away by my mother, or being the only one left but her. Then I heard her cry out as she climbed on the rocks towards the beach below me, tearing off her clothes as she went.
And now I defy you, God, goddess, devil or blind chaos, I defy you, whoever you be. Listen to me. I will be your slave, noble. You have taken everyone but one from me. You took the first away in a distant place. Did you think that because I couldn't see him, I would find his death easier? Did you not know that the cord never breaks? Then you take another! Another! Have I to have so many babies that you grow tired of taking them all? Fertile ground has no will of its own, but I have! I will beat mindless against the rocks no more! This is where I make my stand. You have taken my children, and now you presume to take their husband, the one who sows the seed. No more! See what I do! See me! I will take no more! You shall have no more of me to play your madness upon!
The essence of horror crept over me as I watched my mother. Scooping handfuls of dry sand, she filled up the passage to her womb with its sterility. Eyes staring and teeth bared in a smile of hate, she rammed herself full of the sand, still holding up the letter clasped in her hand, shaking it at the ocean.
Watch me deny you! I will have no more of it! I will never move at your bidding, never again!
Was I pathworking? Even now, I don't know. As I stood there, I didn't know whether it was true or not.
Now, will you send them back to me? Now that I am more rock than sea, I will give you no more babies. Send me back the one they have already given. And visit your horror on some other handmaiden.
And as I watched in sad amazement, the spell was broken by Fly barking joyfully and running away up the path. I turned to see a hare sitting up there, waiting for the dog. Strange it was, I thought at the time. A hare sees a dog and doesn't run. Fly reached the foolish hare, and to my astonishment, the two ran games together. I stood up and began to walk back towards Marlis, the dog and the hare racing ahead of me all the way back to the village.
Come in. Oh, Quinn, since when have you to knock on my door? Come you on in. Oh, let me just get my shoes on. I'll heat up some cowl. You're quiet. You found her?
Yes.
And she wouldn't come home?
No, she's looking for the cunning man. I don't think she knows what she's about anymore.
This wildness. There's no cure that any other can bring to it.
Are you all right, Auntie?
Oh, nothing but the weight of years, Gwenvor. Nothing but that. Pass me my comb, will you? Oh, I can't think how my hair's got into such a state. All tangled up.
What should I do about Mum?
Give her time. The solution's all our own. Do you want to spend the night here?
Yes, please.
Then go and make up the cot. We'll keep each other company this night.
That evening, as I nestled before the range in the light of the oil lamp, she told stories. Still teaching, still trying to prepare me.
There are two extremes. Everything somewhere between the two. Call them man and woman. hard and unyielding or soft and changing. The sea is the woman. The rocks are the man. The moon changes like a woman. The sun is constant like a man. Balance is everything. Know the strengths and weaknesses of both sides, or you'll walk alone, trapped in a changeless path.
Are you talking about Mam?
Her and everyone else. For we are all woven together like the pictures in the ancient books, the Celtic interweaving. They spoke of everything, not just that which they portrayed. Look at the picture on the wall. You know what it is?
One of the saints from the Book of Kells.
Eh? But see how he's linked to everything else in the picture by the interweaving. That's how they drew the paths that we walk. Not shapes, but instructions.
Something woke me that night. A whistling, I think it was. Maybe the cunning man was practicing his arts. I got dressed quietly and went out towards the point. Long before I got there, I saw the lamp my mom carried, moving along the cliff and then back again, like the lights of the olden day wreckers. So I perceived a sadness and a danger in that light. An instinct in me held me back from approaching it. I turned and went back to Ivy's house. I spent the next day down by St. Bride's, well away from where I knew my mother walked or my aunt kept teaching. I just wanted to play like a child by the sea. Come the early evening, I was back in Ivy's house, eating cheese and potato pie with her.
There you go, Gwyn. Oh, you eat nice. That up now, nice and hot.
Good evening, Miss Ivy.
And to you. What can I do for you?
I've come to talk to you about a great project.
Come you on in, then.
I thank you.
Is this to do with Delith?
Partly it is, yes. She bids me to conjure a wind that will bring all her family home from the war.
So, what brings you to Mahido?
This path I tread. Will you help me?
Hey, I'll help you. I will warn you. Turn back now, cunning man. Save us all the pain that will surely follow. This project is born of madness.
You are of the moon, Ivy. I am of the sun. If we work together, we could shift the world. You with the tide and me with the wind.
My ways are too slight, too much bound up with the simple.
Will you oppose me, then?
No, I'll not do that. It's your own path that you must walk.
Very well. I need the boy, though.
What for?
He's both son and brother, and is of the moon, I understand. And again, he is not yet a man. He retains the untouched spirit in him.
Let the boy walk with you if he will. But be warned again. The pride of man was ever his downfall.
I hear you.
Very well.
Gwynfor, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Will you join me in this great undertaking?
Well, sir...
Only if you are happy to do it, Gwyn. It's your choosing.
Will it make my mum better?
Yes, Gwynfor, it will. Her sorrow makes her strange. Take away the sorrow and the strangeness will go with it. More than that, this project will bring your father and your brother Owen home too.
I'll do it then, sir.
Good boy. Now your first task will be to go and bring the dog priest to the deer park.
Yes, sir.
It'll be dark before he gets back. He can go in the morning.
Of course. We need to begin the day after, though. Good evening to you both.
Plenty of sleep for you tonight, my lad. I've a notion there won't be so much for you afterwards.
It was July the 2nd, the day before my birthday, and the sun felt like new in its warmth. There was a feeling of a new chance in the air. Change, maybe. So I set off cheerfully to fetch the dog priest. He was now my friend. On the way back, we talked about how things were in the village and about Fly being Ivy's new companion. Just as we joined the Dale Road and began to go down the slope to Mullock Bridge, he gripped my arm to stop me.
Is there death in this, Colin, from the Colin man?
How do you mean, sir?
Does death touch what we are to do?
I don't know, sir. He just said to bring you.
Death, aye. See her?
The woman washing her clothes? Yes, sir.
Do you know her?
I can't tell from here.
Mark what she's washing in the street. Winding sheets by. That's the battle hat. She's showing us someone soon to die. See, the water turns black.
What should we do? Go another way?
We've seen her now. The truth has been told. Walk quickly past her. In your mind, keep asking her not to hail us.
Why, sir?
If she hails us, it'll be our winding sheets she's washing.
Hail to thee, dog priest.
Hail, washerwoman.
No, washerwoman, me. I'm your layer out, dog priest.
I know who you are. What about the boy?
Not the boy. He is protected.
What news have you for me, then?
When the pillars of the Cromlech do rise up to fly, then is your time.
I thank you for your treasure.
The road is open before you. We will meet again on the Rath by Dead Man's Bay, dog priest. See that you are ready.
I will.
She's gone.
Aye. She's done her work.
I'm frightened, sir.
That I am. That's an ending we all have. But to be told of it sinks my heart.
But you'll be all right. How could a Cromlech fly?
How could that heap of metal fly?
Oh, that's different.
The question will be answered.
Why did she say I was protected?
See her in the field.
Who?
The hare. See her?
Oh, yes.
Not a common creature around these parts. I reckon she's followed you all the way to Monkhaven and back.
I wonder if she's the one that plays with Fly.
Ivy's companion plays with a hare.
Yes, sir. I've seen them.
Ivy is an old woman, isn't she? Too old to run with her companion. But if she was a hare now...
What do you mean, sir?
Oh, it is no matter. The hare's your protector, whoever she is.
There's Marlis up ahead of us.
Aye. And there's someone behind us. Follow her.
Is it the woman?
No, not a woman's tread.
Who is it then?
If we wait by the corner here, we'll soon see.
It's the Sin Eater.
You know him?
I helped him once with someone washed up by the sea.
Hail to we both. Dog priest and the Tyrian boy.
Good afternoon, sir.
Maybe tis.
What brings you to these parts, Sin Eater?
Same as thee both. The project.
The cunning man called for you two.
The manner of speaking I did.
I've been hailed by the battle hag on the road back there.
I'm acquainted with it. That's how I knew to be here. I know her ways.
You've come for me?
No. 'Tis the project. But she and thee are all bound up in it.
Will you eat my sin when the time comes?
Thy sin is little, and yet thou hast a greatness of heart, dog priest. I shall be proud to accept the little burden thou bearest.
I thank you.
Who takes your sin, sir, when your time comes?
No, indeed. Only the good God himself or his only son. Their mercy is all there is for such a poor soul as mine.
I can hear something. What is it? A tune played on pipes.
A cunning man calleth us even as he calleth the wind. From which quarter comes the tune?
The headland. We'll tack.
Then go we that way.
Over here.
Good day, sir.
Good day to you all, too. You have made good time.
The call was strong. Now that we are here, what do you want of us?
Sit with me as the night falls and I'll tell you everything.
Shall we light a fire?
A fire that will light the world. But yes, make a little fire now for the night.
And so the dog priest and I busied ourselves with collecting dry wood. Dusk began to fall, and we gathered together around the fire to listen to the cunning man.
Before I talk to you all about the project that I have, I need to know you all in spirit. Spend the night with me, and when the great sun returns, I will be ready to explain.
We sat watching the fire. No one spoke for the sake of the cunning man's meditation. The dog priest lay back and fell near asleep. The Sin Eater sat bolt upright like a statue. The cunning man also sat on the ground. He bowed his head and breathed deeply. I stole glances at each in turn. It was like being in chapel. Unreal not to be talking to each other. The dog priest sat up suddenly. He turned his head to listen to something outside the circle of light.
What's that? The people of this place. They're watching us.
And then I became aware of it too. Padding feet moving around the revealing firelight. The glint of its reflection in pairs of eyes that approached and receded.
What if they want? Who knows? Perhaps they will tell us.
It's to the dog place.
It is the unclouded ground.
The dancing ground of the fair ones.
Unhallowed and free. Wild and left to be so, as we are.
As all of us are.
We mean no harm to thy citadel. What dost thou want?
Just a look at you, man.
Just a touch. To feel how real you are. Douse the fire and we will come.
Their spirit is away if we do. Hold fast, dog priest. It's thy fear that they love.
What should we do?
Douse the fire and let them sit with us. We are guests in their palace.
Oh, God help us.
Who are you talking to?
No one, sir.
Keep silent, then. This is a time for meditation.
Can't you hear them?
No, boy. He hears only the things he knows.
As the firelight grew dim, the other folk came to join us in the circle. A long night of waiting as they learned about us and their way. By the end of it, I was near asleep and the tension was gone. The strange ones sitting either side of me seemed warm and part of my world as I drifted away into theirs. Then dawn rebounded from the distant Preseles and they were gone, leaving just their footprints in the dew.
Hail to thee, Father, Son, bringer of life! Hail to the power you bring! Now I am ready. This will be my greatest challenge. This is the day that Sirius the Dog Star rises in conjunction with the sun and increases his power. Now I shall begin to call down the sun itself to touch the earth and draw all the winds to this one place. The conjuring of the winds is never asked for these mechanical days. The ships will go no matter which way the wind blows, and no one thinks about the deeper ways of the wind. But there is another wind. There is the wind that moves the ways of men. A wind that sings of their loved ones and familiar places. The winds of war have scattered them. I shall conjure one great wind to bring them all home.
How can you call all the winds at once? Where will they go to?
They come from everywhere. They will return there when they have left behind what they carried.
A great and dangerous project indeed.
What would you have us do?
Be my shrine of the Trinity. We three magical men, bound together by this boy. We shall become a living Cromlech, a focus for the power. So many factors are here to be the consummation. We have the four elements, the four aspects, the four seasons, and the winds that link season to direction. We have all these in this group. We are the universe. So what is there to fear?
The signs. We have seen signs.
Signs?
I've been hailed by the bringer of death, the hag who washes the sheets.
What? Some old woman from the village?
An old woman who disappeared.
I know of it too.
What have you seen? What can you show me to make me believe?
There were those things that came here last night too.
I didn't see anything. Did you?
You knew they were there though.
Superstition. We will harness these forces of which you're so afraid, and then you will see.
All that day he spoke to us of numbers and forces and influences, and of the unassailable willpower of a concentrated human mind. We were tired and I was sad. My birthday and no one to share it with. No one to wish me well and treat me special. At the end of the day, I walked home on my own, with my head reeling with what I'd heard. By the road's turn, there was a familiar smell in the air which drew me past Ivy's house and into my own. I went into the kitchen to find my mother kneeling before the cast-iron range, rolling the clay and coal dust to make comb before the long-lit fire. There was a moment, a long, unmoving moment, as I looked at her figure bent in front of the smoking comb, when I wondered what would show in her face when she turned to look at me. madness, or calm.
Mom?
Gwyn, happy birthday. Your birthday cake's near done. Sit down now. I have a present for you. Close your eyes. There. Now you can open them.
What are they?
Well, you won't know just by looking at the wrapping, will you?
It's a jackknife. Oh, thank you, Mum.
You're old enough now to be careful with it. A man should always have a good knife.
Oh, it's a beauty.
Sharp, mind. Now, open the other one.
A whetstone too?
No knife stays sharp on its own. Now, you look after them both. The whetstone's as important as the blade. It's one present I've given you.
Oh, yes, Mum. Thank you.
Now that you've more years than fingers, see you don't lose any of that.
Years or fingers?
You're a good boy, Gwyn. You'll do the job. Now then, let's see about this here cake. Oh, yes. A beauty.
Oh, it smells so good. Can I have some now?
I'd set fire to your stomach. Silly boy. You've got eyes bigger than your brains at times. Now we'll put it here to cool.
That was a moment of simple happiness like may never happen again. My mum was my mum.
There we are.
And it was my birthday in the warm kitchen of my home.
Well,
I think I'll remember waiting for that cake to cool down until my dying day. And when it was cool enough to eat, it tasted of smoke and iron, the way they always did in those days of Calvin fires, warm and smoky. The only fire that could cast darkness and yet warm you right through to the bones, till you fell asleep with it. And in my sleep that night, I remember the last time David had been home, how I'd listened from my bedroom to the talk of the men downstairs. David had brought back a bottle of bourbon, and the three of them weren't going to let it go to waste. Not on his last night before going back.
It's a whole different world over there. Everyone's rich. They're all fat with the food they got. Shops full of stuff. Women got nice clothes. Everyone's living like kings.
How about the women? Are they nice?
Oh, beautiful. And they don't look all tired like they do here. Tell them Bob Hope comes from Barry and you're well in. And they love it when you speak some Welsh.
Oh, when should you be drinking that stuff like that?
Oh, Mum.
He's a man now, Dillis. People got to grow up quickly in this war.
Oh, well, keep it quiet then. I don't want Gwynfor walking up to see his men talk in such a state. Well, then. Isn't there a drop for your poor old Mum?
Aye.
I remember drifting asleep a few times, just listening to the warm depth of the men's voices. Because it was to be the last time, my memory remained clear.
You never see them till it's too late, the wolf packs. Grey and cold, rising up out of the sea. On moonlit nights, you think every wave is a sun. I'd rather die in the explosion than slowly out in the sea of the cold, drifting away. That's no way for a man to die.
No.
Cowardly bastards.
Oh, Dad,
sorry, Mum, but they are. They only attack in the moonlight if you're a straggler. Otherwise, they do it in the dark. They wait until the odds are against you. Yeah. We can see in the dark now. Well, you don't stand a chance if they mind themselves.
Gwyn said you shot up a U-boat.
Yeah, well, that's what he wanted me to say. I had a couple of magazines go well. Probably only scraps of paper. Surprised about... Like that, though? Taught him to come up that close to us.
Asleep or awake, I went to the window and looked out at the dark night. One of those wolf packs had hunted David down. He'd never got to live in America. I remember crying quietly so that Mum wouldn't hear me being sad on the night after my birthday. The next morning was bright and already warm when I woke. I went downstairs to find Mum at work around the grate with the black lead.
Good morning. Boy who's near a man. Bread for breakfast. No bacon now.
Yes, Mum.
Then you must go and spend the day with a cunning man. I'm getting the house ready for when they all come home. Oh, your father will be so proud of how much bigger and stronger you've become. Nearly a man now, Gwyn. Nearly a man.
Look what I got for my birthday.
Oh, fine-looking blade. When was your birthday?
Yesterday.
Well, why didn't you tell us? We'd have had a party.
I don't think he wanted me to.
The cunning man? Why do you say that?
He knew, but he didn't say.
Perhaps that has his reasons.
Happy birthday for yesterday, though.
Thank you, sir.
What's that you have there, Gwynvor?
A jackknife, sir. My mom gave it to me.
She should have known better.
What's the matter, sir?
It's bad for the business when engaged in, Gwynvor. Leave it at home tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Why is it bad?
It's too much of a story to tell. Just leave it at home.
Why would a knife be bad?
I've no idea. And he's not intending to tell.
You look mighty thoughtful, Gwynvor.
Why would a knife be bad for what we're doing, sir?
I'll tell thee after my fashion. He requires thee not to be a man just yet. And this knife is a symbol of you becoming one. Iron is the destroyer of the fair folk.
Should I leave it at home then, sir?
Aye, do thou so for 12 days. On the 13th day, keep thou the knife upon thee, but hidden. There will be a need for it.
And as the hot and listless days of waiting slipped from one to another, I began to see things in the corners of my eyes, shifting and shimmering things of subtle substance. Never there when I turned my head to see them directly. I learned to be quiet and watchful, and they began to dance for me on the unplowed ground.
What dost thou watch with such happy eyes?
The fair family, sir. Can you see them?
No. My old eyes are clouded in many ways. I know they are here, but no more is offered to me. We have to be unconcerned to see them dance.
Remember the older way of seeing the world, the weaving together of all things. Cut but one thread and the jacket falls down.
Yes, Auntie.
Be careful about being woven into what the cunning man intends.
The application of force to the right point is a science of causing effect. Give me a place to stand and I will move the earth if I have a long enough lever and a fulcrum. It isn't therefore a question of creating a bigger force, but of knowing how to use the force you have properly in order to achieve the end.
And what does the cunning man teach you?
He teaches me that by controlling myself, I can control all around me.
True. But does he tell you why?
He says that things with no will can be controlled by those that have will.
True again. But did he tell you of the danger?
No.
Then I shall. I have walked far abroad to see why this tide runs as it does. And I have seen the people of a faraway place dancing to the drum and the whistle. These people are trapped in a desert by those who believe in control by force. The newcomers have rebuilt the Tower of Babel. Alamo Gordo, they call it. And the people are named for the plant they eat. Mescalero Apache.
Redskins?
Eh, the old ones of America. Outcasts, pushed into the wild places like us here. But they're not even safe there. On the 16th of July, there will be a reckoning as the tower is turned into dust by forces as yet undreamt of. The newcomers will send this force against their enemies, and the force will turn people into dust. Yet still the people who released it will believe that they control it.
What does that have to do with us?
We are all one fabric. Tomorrow, you must draw the interweaving for yourself. Learn as quick as you can.
You seem frightened, Auntie.
None but a fool wouldn't be. I hear their voices, and I feel the pain of long-dead people rising up in this project, which mocks the forces of cohesion.
Soon will be our dancing time,
our dancing time,
our dancing time.
Soon will be our dancing time,
and nobody knows its end.
Everyone's trying to teach me, sir. Why's that?
We all see a fear in this project. We each have something we know which may be the saving of us. You are the one to know all of it. The wizardry of the cunning man, the knowing of spirit in the sin-eater, and the love of living things in me.
mind, soul, and heart. If you have them all, then maybe you'll be the one to save us. Or at least your own self.
This is the 13th day of waiting. Hast thou the knife with thee?
Yes, sir.
Keep a good hold on it.
You know who will come when we call?
We know.
We know.
Then be ready, Dog Priest, to put them out of their pain. And you, Sin Eater, to take away the scars of their sin.
Aye. We're ready.
Your stick and your plate will be worked hard before nightfall. The mind will call them, the heart will serve them, and the soul will carry them away. We are the Trinity of Man, joined by the untouched boy. Yours is also a great task, Winver. Perhaps the greatest task of all. You are to hold us together. A great task indeed. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Stand by us then as I begin the calling. My breath to the pipes to bring them all here.
Look at the sea. It forms like a mad dog's breath.
So it begins. Form the cromlech. The Trinity Shrine must stand against the chaos.
And so the three pillars stood with their arms linked, and I climbed up onto their shoulders. I lay flat, with my face toward the darkening sky. They trembled under me as the unreal wind grew. Unreal wind, I say, because it came from all directions at once. As I watched, I saw a great cyclone of dust moving upwards away from me, like I was falling down through a tunnel of cloud. Like I was that dead boy I'd found on the beach with the foamy water falling away from my face. Filled with the fear of death, I continued to stare at the strange new cloud made from the dust of everywhere, and saw that the many winds coming together in one place were forced up and out again like a huge fat tree above us.
You see, I have done it. Every wind is mine. The very storm is mine.
Then I felt the pillars tremble a second time, and I turned my head away from the dark cloud above me to see Annis moving up the cliff towards us, grinning like madness itself and dripping with slime from the sea of the dead.
Jesus, save us!
Hold still! Don't move! Winver, keep us together! Keep looking up!
I claim you all! Every one of you!
Stand there, Storm Witch! This is of my doing, not yours!
The doing is done! The storm belongs to any who claim her! Cease! My children! Come!
She is...
I looked once more, and my whole body crept and rippled as if I'd lost control of it. Rank upon rank of the dead and drowned were rising up from the white foaming sea and moving onto the land. I gasped, and in that timeless moment, Annis leapt forward with her teeth bared, like some predator against the foolish stragglers of the herd.
Ma! You're all mine!
Help me!
Hold him! Keep the shrine steady! I bargained for this man!
Too late, Sin Eater! He's already mine!
No!
Lonely no more!
And then there was terror indeed. The wind had wrapped the Sin Eater's long white hair around and through my belt buckle, and I was helpless.
What's for thee, Quinfer? Use the knife!
I drew the knife from my pocket and cut through his hair. The bond was broken, and he smiled at me as I fell to the ground. Then he turned to face the wind as Annis tore the struggling dog priest away from the group. The Sin Eater grabbed him by his free arm, and the tug of war began. But who can stand against the storm? Linked like a line of dancing dolls, the dog priest, the Sin Eater, and the cunning man were dragged into the swirling air by the witch of the headlands. up into that strange cloud they rose until they were out of my sight. I turned to see the dead children of Annis marching slowly like a silent army away from the sea and back to the places that they once held so dear. Every one of that risen host with a dreadful similarity. Something froze me and I couldn't move. Then the hair ran bounding and twisting in between them and me, and the spell was broken. I ran blindly back to the house.
Gwyn, are you well? What's the matter?
They got blown away, Mum. And Annis was there. She was there in that cloud. See it?
Evil looking creature, isn't it? The power of it.
And there's dead people coming out of the sea.
God save me. I asked him to bring them all home, didn't I? Get back from the door, Gwyn. Who's there?
There's two of them by the window. It's Dad and Owen. And David. David's there too. He's not dead.
No, Gwyn. Don't let them in.
Why not?
If they were alive, they'd open the door. But the way they are now, they can't cross the threshold lest they're invited. I'll go to them. You hide behind the settle.
No, Mum! You mustn't if they're dead!
Listen to me, Gwyn. Some things have to be finished. Remember that. Stay behind the settle.
The letter that she had kept in her hand since it arrived was blown into the room. I saw it as I waited behind the settle for the wind to die down. Missing in action, it said. My brother's name, his rank, his number. I never saw my mom again. Not amongst the living. Different times and different places. Nothing's the same since the coming of the wild wind. New things are constants now. Annis still screams and howls of her loneliness, and the wild wind joins in concert with her. Sometimes I see her stalking along the cliffs, raging against a loss she cannot name. Other times I see my mom. Sometimes she's alone like Annis, and sometimes my dad and my brothers are with her, whispering unquiet death to me in the undying scream of the wind.
In The Triumph of the Cunning Man by J.R. Jones, Gwyn was Philip Madoc, and Gwyn as a boy was Alan Horan. The Cunning Man was Albie Woodington, the Dog Priest, Chris Griffiths, and the Sin Eater, Phil Rowlands. Gwyn's mother was Freyan Morgan, and Ivy, Viv Moore. Annis and the Battle Hag were Manon Edwards, and Winston Evans was Davith and Mr. Stevens. Brendan O'Malley played the panpipes. The Triumph of the Cunning Man was directed in Wales by Jane Dauncey.